It is 5:30 on a Monday evening. It means Talking About Practice is coming up next. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Peter Tichinen. That's a cool name. Peter Tichinen, in association with Bayward Real Estate, a local real estate firm established in 1962, killing it. Peter Tichinen at Baywood Real Estate are happy to support community radio and can be reached at 680-1900 or at chicohomes.com. Big shouts to our underwriters. Let's start the show.
We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. Listen, we talking about practice. How silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
This is Talking About Practice. I'm your host, Jarrell Gilbert, along with a bunch of co-hosts, including Derek Isumaki. Hold on. I don't have you up.
Oh, wow. What's good?
There we go. Much better. Jaime's in the building.
What's up, man? Glad to be back.
It's nice to have you. Great. And the return of the one, the only, Jonathan Newberry. Noobs, what's happening?
What's up, fellas? What's up? Good to be back as well. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you, brother. So we got a bunch to get into. Obviously, the college playoff has been assigned.
Some big problems with that.
I can't wait. Week 12?
13.
Week 13. 12 games played.
Yeah, week 13 we got to discuss. Some NBA hoops, but let's start with marijuana. Is that cool? Let's start there. We're talking about it off air on a different subject. But what I find, I don't know if you guys heard this, Steve Kerr came out recently and talked about that he used marijuana as a pain reliever as he...
I'm joking.
That was very...
right.
Yeah. That was very dramatic.
What? He smoked the reefer?
He basically came out.
He's on the pot.
And he said he used it, as many of us know. He was out for the beginning half of last season. Luke Walton stepped in, did a great job in his absence. And it was because he was doing back surgery and he was leaking spinal fluid, which doesn't sound like a fluid you should be leaking ever.
I don't think any fluid should ever really be leaking from your body. Like, stuff comes out, but like it's never be like just constantly happening.
Yeah, sometimes you get a cold, you get some mucus going. Yeah.
But that's not like good. You want that. Like, no leakage is
good. No, but there's on the scale of fluids, that's at one end.
Okay, fine.
Spinal fluid, it seems like...
That's like tier 4. I would say spinal fluid's tier 1 of fluids I don't
like
want
the DEFCON one. Yeah, all right,
but still, leakage is never good.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But he said he tried it a couple times. It didn't really agree with him, but his whole point was that the NBA should soften their stance on marijuana in general, which is interesting for a variety of reasons, and I want to get to a comparison in the NFL here in a second. But one thing that, as I was doing a little bit of reading, and yes, I actually researched a little bit for the show, the NBA didn't actually test for marijuana until the 98-99 CBA. So it wasn't something they always tested for. And regardless of how you feel about drugs in general, the whole prohibition of drugs, and this is not me, and I know everyone's like, Jarrell, you always talk race, blah, 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 blah. It's targeted at minorities, and it's not my fault. If you're mad at me, it's more like look at Nixon and what those guys were doing. But the entire thing about it is it's all about perception, right? The reason the NBA doesn't want their players smoking, they don't actually really care. They just don't want the perception that the league is full of potheads. And so I guess, Derek, we'll start with you because you were so shocked to hear this news. When you what's your first takeaway or when you first hear this or heard it, if this isn't the first time, what were your initial thoughts?
I mean, knowing Steve Kerr and the stance that he takes on many subjects doesn't surprise me the way that he's going about it. I mean, him using it, I was just kind of joking, like, oh, well, he used it. Who wouldn't give it a try at some point to try it out to, like, for whatever he went through. I mean, he was an NBA player for quite some time. I wouldn't be surprised if he'd done it then. Or, like I said, now, when he
definitely
has...
Definitely was around dudes on the Bulls and Spurs, I'm sure.
Exactly, and a lot of those guys were kind of crazy.
Phil Jackson, I mean...
Doing peyote with Phil Jackson. It's a completely different thing.
But, I'm saying, like, it doesn't shock me at all to hear him say that he's fine with them using marijuana as a alternative substance to pharmaceuticals. So, it's not like... I was super shocked. No, I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense for Steve Kerr to make this stance, and he does it in a fashion that, you know, keeps him kind of like a hip kind of type of coach, you know?
Yeah.
He's kind of got that image about him right now, and, you know, good for him. I mean, I'm a person myself that I believe it should be pro as well. I don't understand why they're in the NBA or the NFL, you know, in pretty much any sport. I don't think it's necessary to crack down on that type of substance. Sure, other things are around there that, you know, I'm not going to say have a free-for-all and put anything you want in your body, but...
Sure.
Look where he coaches. He coaches in Golden State now. California, it's passed the law. I think he's a little comfortable. He coaches in the city of Oakland, the Golden State, the United States, the Bay Area, of course. I think it makes it a little easier because they're champs, but I think it's interesting, and I think it's he was real casual, laissez-faire about the subject, and I think that's cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of it does have to do, like, where if he was coaching maybe in Oklahoma City, maybe wouldn't be as quick to come out in for it. And getting back to what you were saying about his image as a cool coach, you know, or because he is, but at the same time, like, because he said that it didn't help him specifically, you know, like, it's kind of like, I feel like he is sort of like putting it out there more for the players, because like, he didn't really have a positive reaction to it. And I don't know if maybe he was just saying that because it's one of those things where you want to kind of straddle the line and say, oh, well, it wasn't for me, but I feel like it could be beneficial for other people. Now, getting back to what you were saying earlier and about how it being, you know, having to do with race, it absolutely does as far as why it was criminalized in the first place. Right. The whole Reefer Madness BS that was coming out. It's like, oh my God, your daughter's going to marry a black jazz musician. You know what I mean? Like, but who it affects now, it's everybody. You know what I mean? Because it's not like a crack cocaine thing, which unjustly hurts inner city people. Okay, it's marijuana across the board. I mean, granted, maybe you're not as likely to get pulled over and stopped for it if you're white, so there is still those issues, which is unfortunate. But as far as like white players, there's probably as many white players now in the league that smoke as black dudes. You know what I mean? I would almost guarantee that. And it was funny to hear Andrew Bogut's comments about how, like, well, it was another one of those kind of like put your foot in the water and see where it is. He's like, well, I haven't tried it, but talking to some of the older guys who are retired and who have chronic injuries, they say it helps a lot. That's basically a way of saying, yeah, I know it's completely rampant in the league. Everybody's smoking, but I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, so only talk about retired guys. You know, but he made some interesting comments about dudes showing up drunk to practice, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Right.
Guys being hungover during games, which I could totally see.
Oh, yeah.
You're playing 4 games in 5 nights.
Yeah.
You're in like 4 different cities. You're going to go out one of those nights.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You're going to get hamstered.
You ever see the Lakers playing on a Sunday?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, definitely. I mean, I guess, with the whole issue with the NBA, I guess cocaine was a huge problem like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Now that's not really a big deal. I think that the only problem with medicinal marijuana, and this is coming from someone who has, you know, some of an intimate relationship with that. You know, I have a card. I'm not afraid to say that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But, you know, it's
and it's legal, so.
Well, now it is.
Yeah.
Now it is, but I mean, it took us.
Like, the calendar
it took
flips,
us 8 years
yeah,
past.
It's legal now.
Really?
No, it came in, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the rules on growing, I think, don't kick in until January of 2018.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So there is, you know, that we got a year of this, you know, the gray area of medicinal and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But, you know, I think that the thing with the players is going to be, it's like, well, it's going to be how hard is that going to be to regulate? And you know that every player is probably going to want to get an exemption, you know what I mean, to be able to smoke. And honestly, I don't have any problem with that. I think really just as a society, we need to get all on the same page. I believe in states' rights, love states' rights. I believe that's one of the things that make this country right. But federally, they should get rid of it, especially as a Schedule I drug. Having it on the same thing as heroin and coke is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And so it shouldn't be just guys that play in Washington, Colorado, and California.
Right.
You know what I mean? This needs to be like a thing where, you know, and guys have chronic pain, knee issues. You know, it does help. You know, so I'm for it. I think this is the pendulum is definitely swinging.
Sure.
But there is that, like you said, there's that, you know, image that the NBA wants to uphold and the NFL as well.
Right.
But I mean, especially with Adam Silver as the commissioner right now, he's really kind of taking it towards that, you know, that happy, that kind of, I guess, more liberal side, I want to say, in nature, because he definitely has, and especially their stances that they take on many political issues, you know, and racial issues, too. They're very liberal in their stances. So, you know, it seems like it's going to be coming along that marijuana is like, you know, that's going to be like something that's not going to be that on the table to get off, this, you know, as a drug they can't be on anymore.
They are more or less negotiating a new CBA during the season, hoping that they don't have to go into another lockout this year. And so we'll see what happens there. I do think, though, that the NBA has a unique problem that the other four leagues don't face. Now, keep in mind, leagues with a really strong union, such as baseball, that's not an issue. They don't test for marijuana. They don't test for cocaine in baseball. Okay? So
they don't? Really?
Yeah, they don't.
Everyone
test
knows you need cocaine to stay alive in baseball.
Well, I mean, I think baseball's
the season 162.
There was always the thing with methamphetamines where there was like two coffee pots or whatever, two different ones. Right, one had the greenies in it or whatever. But like, I didn't know that I figured with the new, you know, HGH and steroid thing that they would have thrown other drugs in there too.
Yeah, no, they still do not test for cocaine.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of comparison shopping. Another league, the NHL, doesn't test for marijuana and I believe cocaine as well. And so
that explains Wade Boggs drinking 54 Miller Lights on a flight. I mean, how else do you do that without
without some I mean, extra
seriously,
help?
Yeah. How would you stay awake for that?
How would you not die?
I
don't know. Anyway. But no, I do think
it's a long flight. Was that an exhibition in Tokyo or something?
The NBA does have a different perception to overcome than other leagues do, and that is the perception of being the Black League. And agree with it or disagree with it, that's just, I didn't make this up. This is what it's been referred to in many cases. And so I see why the NBA in particular would want to move a little slower and not be at the forefront of being progressive when it comes to marijuana and the way they either tolerate it or look the other way, or however they ultimately end up deciding to go here. But I do think that that is an issue that the NBA has to face, and dealing with that perception. The last thing that I think that the league wants to do is say, all right, we have a Black league and we're totally cool with all our Black guys getting high all the time. You know, and I just think that's it's an interesting situation that the league finds themselves in. You know, it's just because they have that stigma attached to it. It's going to be harder to be at the forefront of some of these things. But I did want to get into this story, and it came out a couple weeks ago, so I'm not breaking any news here. But Central Henderson recently got a 10-game suspension from the NFL. And if you're not familiar with the story, he plays for the Bills, and I believe he's an offensive lineman, and he has Crohn's disease. And without getting very much into Crohn's, let me just put it like this. He had to have parts of his intestines removed, and he couldn't eat anything, and he couldn't take in painkillers because of his digestive problems. So he began smoking marijuana as a way to deal with the pain. And the NFL has slapped him with a 10-game suspension. Now, I find this one slightly more interesting than Steve Kerr's comments, and for this reason. You're going to deal with pain in any one of these major sports. It doesn't matter. If you're playing professional sports, you're pushing your body every single day to the pinnacle of what the body can handle, and then in some cases even more so to get the absolute most, and that to do that, you have to break down muscles, you have to train and do all sorts of crazy things. And so they deal in the pain business. So I feel, and I know we've touched on this before, but I think this might be a good time to discuss this a little further. I feel that the NFL has a certain responsibility to their players to really do some investigating and find out the medical benefits and really how they want to handle this moving forward, because their alternative is sending their players to get hooked on opiates. And you've seen it in the news. We've seen startling pictures that the police have released recently of a couple who was on OxyContin, I believe, and fell asleep while driving in the car with their 6-year-old son in the back seat. And it's an epidemic nationwide with opiates, and marijuana is nowhere near as addictive. And there's a multitude of benefits that marijuana would have without the side effects that opiates have. And so I just wanted to start with you, Noobs, your take on all this, because this is it's a lot to digest, but I was just wondering, from your perspective, how do you kind of see the NFL's stance here?
Well, I think there's some complication, because I think that they probably have a lot of pressure from the pharmaceutical industry mm-hmm. to keep marijuana, you know, basically like illegal, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because they don't have any benefit until they've learned how to corner the market on cannabidiols.
Yeah.
Then like they're trying to still sell those opiates. You right. know what I mean? And they might not be selling opiates necessarily during the game, mm-hmm. but it's the same company that makes the opiates that also makes Levitra
right,
whatever it is. You know what I mean? So there's definitely a lot of pressure from pharmaceutical companies. Then you have the whole thing of like, well, how do we make sure our guys aren't just getting high? How do we make sure that they're actually getting like really prescribed? Because there's THC, which is the more psychoactive, mm-hmm. right? And then you have the cannabidiols.
CBDs.
Which is the CBDs, yeah. which is really what really helps a lot of these issues. Like a girlfriend of mine, she's up in Washington State, and like this girl never, ever touched this stuff. But she vapes now. She vapes CBDs, and she had lupus, and she's basically cured. You know what I mean? And this is something that's never supposed to go away.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, she's like the poster child. So it's like, there's definitely people with issues. Crohn's disease is one that obviously that's a great one to talk about, because that's one that's been clearly shown to be helped by that.
Right.
So I think that the NFL, it's like this fine line they're going to work with, and the NBA as well. And I'm sure that the NHL and MLB maybe will follow suit one day. I don't really know what their policies are towards marijuana. I'm sure it's probably...
Well, it comes back to like what you just said, the pharmaceutical companies. It all comes back down to money.
For sure.
And we all know that at the end of the day, if they're not benefiting from these players, smoking weed, whatever, or, you know, taking marijuana, you're not going to see any changes. But it should. It should be addressed.
Well, it should, because they talk about how much player safety is their like number one concern yeah. now. Well, if that's the case, I mean, then you just said it perfectly. They're basically... You're showing these guys the door towards opiate addiction.
Right.
And that's just like something that has destroyed so many lives.
Yeah.
It's horrible for your health long term. It's almost impossible to like quit, because it's basically heroin.
Yeah.
I mean, you see a lot of these kids too, these former athletes, these young kids that played high school sports, they blew out their knee like 10 years ago. Right. And the doctor gave them opiates. Now they can't get opiates anymore, and they're turning to heroin.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a real thing that's going on all over the country. You know what I mean? Affecting everybody. Old mm-hmm. people, young people of every race. So it's just like, it's absolutely horrifying to see what's happening in our country. I would like to see a more open discussion nationally about the benefits and, the negative consequences of marijuana, because there are a little bit.
Sure,
I'll
absolutely.
Be the first to admit it kind of makes you a little lethargic sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, but, and it has detrimental effects for kids under the age of 13.
Your lungs, too, and your brain development. I've heard people argue that you shouldn't take that until you're like 24.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, your brain's still developing even past your teens.
Yeah, I heard.
So.
I've heard similar. I think 17 was a number I was given, but it's an ambiguous number.
Right.
I mean, there are. Like, for us to sit here, we're not saying everyone go out and get some weed today and go smoke it and everything will be better. But I do think it's important to address some of these issues, because I think one thing that I really like about our show is we don't just come in and just talk about the games. And we're going to get to the games. There's plenty to talk about. But we try and tackle some of these bigger issues, and we don't necessarily have the answers. But I do think this is an interesting conversation to have. I personally know handful of friends, former teammates, that had issues with going through surgery. Coming out of surgery, they're prescribed one thing, then that dosage got knocked up, and then so on and so forth. And before you knew it, you know, OxyContin was a part of their daily regimen. And as anyone who's gone through it knows, that's a hard thing to kick. I mean, it's not, it's really difficult. And I just think that the NFL is putting themselves in a, they're setting themselves up for a lawsuit is what it is.
Right.
And this Crohn's disease, this particular Central Henderson, this particular individual, I think is in a really weird and interesting situation where he may be one person who absolutely could benefit from CBDs and smoking cannabis, and the NFL is telling him, no, you can't take that medicine. You need what we prescribe you and what our league doctors approve and so on and so forth. And I just think it's kind of scary when you have your bosses, you know, the people in charge, telling you what drugs you can and cannot take to deal with an ailment when there is research out there that shows the benefits of doing such. And there's also a ton of research that shows the dangers in going the other route with opiates and taking painkillers. I mean, we've seen it with professional athletes and college athletes alike. I mean, it happens all the time where these guys are getting pushed in that direction. So just, I find it interesting. I don't know, any last words on this? You guys want to?
No, that was good.
Good.
You covered a lot of good stuff on that.
All right. Moving on. College football playoff was announced, and Noobs has some issues with that. So the teams were Alabama's 1, Ohio State 2, who's 3? Clemson's 3, got it, and Washington's 4. So let's just jump into it, Noobs. What's your issue?
Well, I think, I mean, first of all, you have 5 major power conferences, right? So it's this constant musical chairs that's going to be played every year.
Sure.
And, you know, when you have athletic directors from all the conferences, now granted, they're all represented, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just like, to me, I feel like there's always going to be that opportunity for, you know, like favoritism, basically. And I think Ohio State really just is in there because of their name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then granted, they had a great year, 10-1, right? Or 11-1, you know what I mean? They beat Michigan, I mean, on kind of a crazy game.
Yeah, it was kind of BS.
Maybe BS, right? I mean, depending on the spot of that ball. So I just think that in a situation where you actually have a team that didn't go to their conference championship, I mean, Penn State beat them heads up, right? And then Penn State went in and took care of business against a really, really good Wisconsin team.
Yeah.
Okay. You look at Penn State's 2 losses. One was really early. It was a bad loss, but it was to Michigan. Mm-hmm. And their second loss was to Pitt.
Yeah.
The same team that delivered Clemson their only loss. Okay?
At home. Clemson was at home. Yeah.
Right. So Pitt, obviously, clearly, like, a team to be reckoned with. It's not like they lost to, like, Central Oklahoma State.
Right.
So that being said, you know, they lost to a Power 5 team, and they lost to Michigan, but they won based on the rules because of head-to-head with Ohio State. They're 11-2, Big Ten champions, arguably the biggest or the best conference, and this is coming from an SEC guy, but I think the Big Ten top to bottom, when you look at all those teams, especially the top heavy teams, Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, even Iowa, I mean, that's a good conference, better than the SEC normally is, at least this year. Okay, so that's my big problem, is that I don't know if, like, it's going to be one of those things where is 4 enough? And then we go to 8, but then if we go to 8, then that takes away from the importance of the conference championships. Okay, the Big 12 needs to suck it up and expand. Okay, this idea now, next year, 2 years from now, that they're going to have a conference championship, even though they're still only going to have 10 teams. Basically, you're going to have a situation where, like this year, they played Oklahoma State in Oklahoma. That was basically the conference championship,
right?
But then in a scenario like that happened this year, what they would do is rematch those two teams a week later. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Agreed.
So go to 12, go to 2 divisions, or go to 14. There's big-time teams out there that you could bring in. Houston, SMU, I mean, Rice is not a good program, but they used to be in the same conference with Texas and all the time, the old Southwest Conference. You know what I mean? Like, maybe, you know, there's options out there. Even Boise State, I think, would be a good candidate. You know what I mean? Wyoming. I mean, you know, there's big Western and Midwestern schools mm-hmm. that you could get into that conference. And because I think that unless somebody goes 12-0 in that conference, you're always going to get overlooked because of the fact you don't have a conference championship game. Washington, I'm super stoked for them.
Yes.
Because I feel like they deserved it. The other thing, too, with the way it's set up right now, and I don't want to go too much on a rant here, but I feel like you have these opportunities where the conference is going to do in the conference championship game scenario based on what could happen. You might have this opportunity where the conference wants to go a certain way, because let's say Colorado had won that game and come in at 11-2 instead of a 12-1 Washington team. Colorado gets completely overlooked.
Right.
So I'm not saying that that game was fixed. I didn't even watch it. It was a blowout.
Yep.
So I'm not suggesting there was any chicanery. But I'm just saying that in the future, when you have a situation where it's like, which way, like the conference itself is going to have a horse in the game.
Right.
If you will. Or in the race, I should say.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Like the ACC, you know darn well they wanted them to beat Clemson to beat Virginia Tech. It would have been disaster for them if the Hokies won that game.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I guess my problem isn't necessarily so much with this one year, because basically my hang up is that Penn State gets overlooked. I think Oklahoma had a great team at 10-2, 9-0 in the conference, but it's like you lose to Houston, you know,
right.
And then you get blown out by Ohio State. I'm sorry, but you're done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the Penn State issue, I mean, I feel bad for those kids, especially for that university and what that program has been through. With the pedophilia scandal that just absolutely rocked that place.
Hold on, you know real quick. I saw a great tweet that said, "This is the greatest travesty that's ever happened at Penn State." It's just like,
oh my God.
There's that whole Sandusky thing, but other than that, this was.
It didn't happen, man.
It reminds me of, did you see that SNL skit with Chappelle and Chris Rock?
Yes.
Where they're at the party, and the guy's like, "This is the worst thing white people have ever done."
And they just kind of look at each
That reminds me of that.
Derek, you've been unusually quiet, and it's kind of freaking me out over here.
I've been feeling myself lately, man. I've been kind of under the weather this past weekend,
You're playing hurt.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, I get it. So if you only put up 6 points in this game, there's a reason.
I'm flowing with it right now.
I got you. Jaime, did you want to jump in?
I wanted to say, I'm not the in-house college football guy, but every year I always hear the standings and ranking system in college football. I think they need to be retweaked or just reset altogether. Because every year all I hear is, oh man, well, you know, this team got left out. But, you know, look at their record and look what they've done here. Like, just the whole system, the whole college football ranking system, I think is kind of whack.
The semifinal was supposed to cut out all those arguments.
Right.
Because it was always like, well, who's number three? You know, why isn't three in instead of number two? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now we have the argument between number four and number five. So they need to just, I think they need to like actually either, and I just got done saying the Big 12 needs to expand. They do for their own sake. But like maybe even like, let's just wipe this whole thing clean and start over and realign and go to like four major conferences and basically the conference winners.
Yeah.
Go. And I'm sorry that if you go, you know, if you don't make it to your conference championship game, if you didn't qualify for that, then you're done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Ohio State, but you lost to Penn State. You didn't even go to the conference championship game. Now we still have a situation where it's votes. It's still votes. It should be an automatic qualification like every other sport on the planet.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a beauty contest.
No, it is. And it's because college football doesn't want to give up on their traditions.
Yeah.
Bowl games, polls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And voting. And it's just ridiculous. It's like, let's
high school drama.
Let's come into the 21st century. You know what I mean? Can you name another single sport where it's like you get voted to go to the championship? No, you go through a regular season.
See, that's what I'm
and you
saying.
Go through the playoffs.
That's wild.
So to me, it's like they just need to figure it out. Either go to eight conferences and break them up into smaller divisions, you know, smaller conferences, or go to four and then have a true semifinal, conference championships, into a semifinal. Because the situation now where we're going to be voting every year, one conference is going to, because this one wound up being, not only did one conference get left out, which is always going to happen, but now you have a situation where within the conference, there wasn't even a clear necessary winner. I even heard people out there saying Michigan should be in there. It's like, stop it. Yeah, they got robbed, but that's what happens. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, like, so to me, whatever. There's just too much ambiguity and too much, you know what I mean? There's just not enough, like, getting down to the nitty-gritty as far as, like, elimination, true
wins
elimination,
and
wins
maybe.
And losses.
Well, you bring a great point with this is the only sport that you get into a postseason by getting voted in, which is a weird system. And everyone complained about the, was it the BCC?
I mean, you can say the NCAA tournament, you get voted into that too in some nature. Like, sure. Granted, there's like conference champs. Granted, they take a ton of people, like yeah. 64 teams. Okay, yeah,
right. No, you're absolutely right about yeah. that, but yeah. it's never to the point where like the 65th team. Or now, like the 16-19 team, where they were like, but they could have won it.
I mean,
it's
you can, like, right, right.
You know yeah, I mean? Like, no one could say that. But I mean, I think with football, when you try to do that, the subjectivity in there is so innate in that sport because you kind of have to be. Because all these schools aren't put on the same level playing field, really, in some nature. Because they're all, like, within the conferences, there's such, you know, disparity between the top to the bottom because of how universities, the amount of money that they're able to put forth into their institutions. It's not like a professional league where essentially everything is supposed to be on like a level playing field where all the athletes are all the best, where you can just, you yeah, don't, you can take the subjectivity almost out of it, where the record is that they put in there is their true standing in the conference. You can't do that quite in football and college football in particular.
I totally disagree because you have made, you have basically what they call power fives now. I mean, the Western Michigans of the world, they're never going to give them the time of the day. And we all know that. But if you're in a power five, you get to go to this thing. You know what I mean? The Alabamas of the world, the USCs. Like, but let's make it to where there's no – like there's power four. And you have the winners of each of those conferences and those automatic bids. That's all I'm asking for is automatic bids. Just like you have in basketball, you have 31 conferences. And granted, you have at-large teams. Yeah. But there's 300 plus –
but you win your conference,
there's 328-something Division I schools in college basketball.
Right.
And there's only 128 in football. Like, I'd say even let's just – you know, let's let those smaller schools in, Louisiana Lafayette. Just make it to where there's a bracket at the end to where there's no voting.
Yeah.
You win your conference, and then it goes down and down and down. And there's plenty of time. And don't tell me these kids are studying for finals.
Right.
You know what yeah. I mean? Like,
that's funny.
True that.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you on the sense that look at that year that the Kemba Walker-led UConn team.
It was awesome.
Won.
2011.
They caught lightning in a bottle. They weren't a very good regular season team at all. In fact, going into their conference championship, they were looked at as an on-the-bubble team. And then they just went on a ridiculous run. Kemba Walker went insane. And they ended up winning the whole thing. I don't think in any of these sports that there's... I think, if anything, like the Premier League, La Liga, the teams that give you points based on how your regular season went and that's who the champion is, that's the best way to tell who the best team is, I think, because one game sample sizes don't do it. Even playoff series can be somewhat misleading, and it's all about getting hot at the right time. But I do think that it would be more fun to reward those teams like a Penn State that got hot towards the end of the year. They have some really good wins on their record. They win the conference championship, they're in. But
I even think Western Michigan, I mean, not into the top four, but they need to rework it so where if you're undefeated, give them their shot.
Give them
yeah. the 1-8 matchup against Alabama or whatever, the 1-16.
Cool. Sure.
Give them a shot at Alabama. You know what I mean? Like, because that's what we love about the college basketball tournament is Cinderella's.
Well, and one thing that was – I heard someone propose was simply less regular season games, expand the playoff
yeah, totally.
To 24 teams, say, and then the last 4 weeks of the season be playoffs.
Right.
You know, but – we'll see, and I'm sure we'll argue about this same time next year. But this is FM 90.1 KZFR, people-powered radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by KZFR follows open meetings, regulations, and laws enforced by federal and state governments. More available at KZFR.org. What a weird read. So we're in line, guys. We are in line with FCC guidelines. So keep that in mind. We're doing our thing. We're doing swell over here. God's work, if you will. you guys want to talk NFL?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you're yeah. the only one who has any enthusiasm about it.
Listen here, I've been a big Raider fan.
All right, let's start
so,
there.
I mean, let's talk about the Raiders. Let's talk about all these teams. Man, the Raiders, 10-2 now, right? We're 10-2. Watching them play right now is so fun because you have someone on the defensive end named Khalil Mack.
Yep.
Who's changing
defensive
games.
Defensive player of the year, probably.
Defensive player of the year. He's changing games on his own. He's a game changer. And he's just amazing. And then you have the offense.
is just dynamite. It's just Crabtree is Mr. Go-To. You have Cooper. I mean, they're so talented. It's a really good time to be in Oakland if you're a fan of Oakland sports in general. I mean, it's fire right now. It's ridiculous.
Literally on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, oh man. No. Too
you
soon.
You went there, my man.
Too soon. Oh,
oh
bro.
Man.
Call him like I see it, man. Okay?
You can always
you
count on Derek.
Funny. I'm going to pick it up. Okay?
You can always count on Derek for that one. No, I completely agree. The Raiders, I have most of my buddies, for the most part, and family are all Niners fans. And most of them are not converted Raiders fans. We're not sellouts over here, okay? We're not jumping on the bandwagon. But if the Niners and the Raiders are playing, I'm still going to watch some of the Niners, even though it's excruciating. But the Raiders are so much fun to watch. They play football the way I like to see it played, where you actually throw the ball down the field. And so few teams are doing that still. They always seem to be in this dramatic situation where they're way down and come back, or they're way up and give up a lead. And I'm cool with it because I really, you know, I want them to do well because, you know, it's the Bay Area. I don't care. You know, I know the Niners aren't going to meet them in the Super Bowl. So I've just really enjoyed watching this team this year, watching the growth and development of Derek Carr has been a lot of fun. We've talked about it on past shows, Derek and I have, about how much fun this team is to watch. They've just been...
Did anyone see Marquette King pick up the flag?
Yes, and dance with it.
Dance with the flag. These guys are fun. I mean, I love when you connect sports to culture. And you see Crabtree with the gold chains.
Yeah.
And the earrings. And you can Marquette King's dancing around. It's
they
fun.
Are they it's are fun. A Raider team.
Oh, yeah.
What I mean by that is they're just...
Throwback.
Yeah, they're just kind of a bunch of bandits and outlaws. Now, they're not nearly as crazy as that 70s. There's
right.
squads in the
right.
70s. But... they are a lot of fun to watch. I've enjoyed watching them this season. And with this injury to Gronk, man, Noobs, how are you feeling about your Patriots right now?
I mean, obviously this is devastating.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the last few times that they got close but didn't win it, he was hurt. And except for last year, I think he was healthy during that Denver game. But for the most part, like a couple years ago when he went out against Houston, mm-hmm. they lost the next game in the conference championship. I think this is a long enough time for them to kind of figure it out. Martellus Bennett is you would think, a great backup. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better backup tight end.
Sure.
But he really hasn't been doing much. I think he had two catches for 4 yards yesterday.
Right,
you know what I mean? So it's kind of interesting because when they got both of those guys in the beginning of this year, or they got Bennett, I was thinking to myself, we're going to have another Hernandez-Gronk situation where they're going to be using two tight end sets a lot. Now, obviously, that's not going to be the case. But it seems like Edelman's stepping up. The run game has been pretty solid. And Brady has been virtually mistake-free. So... You know, looking ahead, I mean, it's, you know, I think they own the tiebreaker on the Raiders right now. I'm not sure. They're both sitting there at 10-2. Honestly, the team that I think everybody's got to watch out for is Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's the sleeper right now. They always play down to the level of their opponent, and that's why they lost a couple games early in the year, like to Philly and someone I can't remember off the top of my head, but they've dropped a couple teams. They're the best 7-5 team out there. They should be like 9-3. I really think that even though they're probably going to get like the 3 seed, that they're a dangerous team to watch.
How about the Cowboys? Are they for real? Is this for real? This has been an amazing run for the Cowboys,
I mean,
by the way.
In my opinion, they are. I think, you know, I used to think differently about rookies. Yeah, I didn't think that you could get it done, especially with, you know, rookies at the two, you know, most important positions,
right.
arguably on offense.
Right. Wow.
But, you know, this is also someone who saw Tom Brady. Granted, it wasn't his true rookie year, but it was his first year starting. He wound up taking the Patriots to a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah.
And he didn't have Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield.
Right.
And this Cowboys.
Or that offensive line. Or does Bryant to throw to?
Unbelievable. Nor did he have Bryant.
Yeah.
So it's like hard for me to even remember. It was like Troy Brown and like all these like kind of like no name dudes. But anyway, I definitely think Dallas is for real. I think you know, home field advantage is going to be really important. If they drop a couple and have to go to Seattle, that could be really bad for them. That's an incredibly tough place to play, especially in January. I see it as like a 2-horse race, honestly. Whereas in the AFC, I think Kansas City is a danger. That Kansas City-Oakland game this Thursday night is huge. If Kansas City wins that game,
they will own the tiebreaker because they will have beaten the Raiders twice this year.
Yep.
So that game is unbelievably important in the AFC West. I think the Steelers are good. I think the Broncos even could sneak in there just because that defense is pretty good. You might have three teams coming out of the West. But in the NFC, man, I don't know. I see a lot of paper tigers. I don't think the Giants are that good, as good as their record.
Yep.
I don't think the Lions are as good as 8-4. And I don't think Tampa Bay or Atlanta is really that scary either.
Yeah.
I could actually see Tampa Bay win that division.
I've been saying all year, ask Derek, don't trust the Falcons.
No, you never can.
No.
You never can.
Nope.
You can always count on them to be like that team that is good enough to never win at all.
Right.
Here's what
that's always what I say. Yeah. That's I'll what I count them on to always yeah. be as, you know? Yeah. They're just a team that's good enough to just not win at all.
Yeah. Here's two quick stories about the Atlanta Falcons that tells you everything you need to know about that franchise.
Eugene Robinson? Tell me you're going to talk about Eugene
that
Robinson.
That was point two, but we'll start there. Eugene Robinson, NFL Man of the Year, got caught soliciting a prostitute the night before the Super Bowl. So there's that. And just like, come on, man. You're acting like you've never been there before, like you don't know where to go get it for free when you're playing in the Super Bowl.
Denver would have destroyed them either way.
Yeah,
I'm
no doubt.
To that.
But also, their first 1,000-yard rusher, this is, God, I wish I had his name in front of me. I don't. But Falcons stopped the game when he ran for his 1,000th yard to hand him the game ball. Very next play, loss of 5 yards, ended up with the season with 995 yards. So don't ever trust the Falcons. And, you know, if they get a franchise-changing quarterback, you know, he might end up running a dogfighting ring. So you just cannot trust the Falcons. And I've been saying it all year long. Just do not trust them. And so we'll leave it at that. And speaking of do not trust the Falcons, did that really happen yesterday where they scored a touchdown to basically win the game, and then on the extra point ended up losing the game? Eric Berry had a hell of a game. He scored more points by himself than the Niners did and the Dolphins, so that was impressive. But
didn't that same thing happen in the Saints a couple weeks ago? Like it was like a block kicked return for 2 points. Or
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, that's so like one of the most rare plays in the game.
So the announcers I just want to get to this real quick because Derek has his foot and mouth that we need to get to and talk some soccer here in a second. But I did want to get to this because I thought this was just awesome. So in the morning game, Falcons Chiefs, the Chiefs come out and to kick to punt the ball, and it's 4th and inches. And as the announcer is saying, well, I really agree with Andy Reid. You got to punt this. The guy takes the snap on a fake punt and goes 56 yards for a touchdown. So that was the first announcer goof. Then the next one was after Eric Berry intercepted the ball and took it all the way back for the 2 points, which ended up being the difference in the game. He said, the announcer goes, "That a game has never ended like that before." And I was like, that just happened weeks ago. Like this season, not even like last season. This happened a few weeks ago. So anyway.
So Atlanta was going for two, though, and got picked off?
Yeah. Got picked off.
Okay, that's slightly different because the Saints got their kick blocked.
Kick blocked.
Yeah.
But it's still a PAT and in this getting case, run back.
Wasn't. I believe Atlanta was trying to take a 3-point lead.
Yeah.
So they didn't necessarily need
have to do it.
Yeah, they didn't have. They could have kicked the extra point. And granted, he would have only been up two and have to keep him out of field goal range. But I believe there's only 50-something seconds left. I could be wrong.
No, there was like 4 minutes left.
Oh, there's that much time?
Yeah. Yeah, it happened a while into the game. Like, there's still a good amount of time left.
So see, if that's the case, you got to go for two.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I can see why they went for it. I mean, you go for two. If you go for one, you're up by 2 points. The field goal still takes in the lead, you know? I mean, you don't, in your right mind, think they're going to throw a pick two, I guess.
Right.
Pick two.
Yeah, pick two.
Speaking
some
of picks.
McDonald's commercial? Yeah.
We're supporting it all over here.
Just real quick, speaking of picks going back to the house, I read this very, very interesting stat that I was just so anxious to share with you guys today. Blake Bortles has more pick sixes in his career than he does wins.
Yeah.
Let that marinate. Wow, really? 11 pick sixes and 10 total wins. So
wow.
That's tough.
How much time do we, much space do we need to give you?
No, I don't need that much. I'm like, we're fine.
All right.
If you want me to go,
I don't know. I mean, is there anything else that is anyone's burning to talk about?
Well, it's really early in the NBA season, but I just wanted to point out because
can I cut you off real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
because I did want to relate this. So, and hold that thought. I want to get back to it. I don't want to forget it. But we talked earlier when you were in about Colin Kaepernick and the effect he may have beyond just sports, beyond just football. And your question was, you were really curious to see how the Banana Boat crew in particular would respond, because this was the same. And I'm, of course, talking about Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Chris Paul, because they had that statement they made at the ESPYs, which was like, basically, we all need to work together to figure this out against police brutality. And since then, silence.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get your takeaway, because this was something you alluded to.
Yeah, we did talk
months
about this.
Ago.
We talked about this heavily. I think we all talked about the Kaepernick thing. I think that's kind of on the topic of the NBA. I think sometimes they can kind of get a pass. You know, they can say things, and then you just kind of forget. Like, you know, this whole Steve Kerr thing. You know, oh man, he's talking about marijuana, medical marijuana use. I mean, nothing really. You haven't heard anything. Fashion statements, if you would, pregame rituals, anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you even think of the NFL too. The whole American flag situation, is that still a thing? Are we still kneeling down? Is Kaepernick still taking?
Kaepernick still is, and in fact, he wore a shirt this in the post game, which is rough coming off a 1-for-5 4-yard performance and getting benched in the fourth quarter. But the one thing I do appreciate about him is he is keeping this going.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, he didn't just kneel the first couple games and then kind of back off this. If anything, he's become more defiant. And the one thing I just wanted to point out real quick is he wore Fred Hampton's shirt after the game. And what I really appreciate that about, for those of you who don't know, Fred Hampton was a civil rights leader in Chicago. And yes, the civil rights didn't just happen in the South with Martin Luther King. There's a lot of people doing good work in the North as well. Fred Hampton happened to be one such individual who was, the police came into his house and murdered him while he was in bed with his 8.5-month pregnant wife. Regardless of what you think, I think it is important that Kaepernick's keeping this conversation alive. It would be nice if he could follow up a good performance with another one, and might not fall in as many deaf ears or be met with such just disgust as it has been. But I do appreciate what he's trying to do, and I'm don't want to say I'm shocked that NBA players haven't really picked up the torch, but I am disappointed.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I was kind of lost at words, because you're right. It's just like, It picked up a lot of, you know, it was a thing that was happening early on in the season, but now that we're about a quarter of the way through, you're kind of like, where's the love?
I mean, I don't mean to sound like, you know, too cynical or whatever, but I kind of just, from the vibe I got from that ESPYs night, you almost feel like they were put up to it.
Yeah.
They didn't get together and say, hey, we need to do this. Like, I feel probably some executive was like, let's get you four on the stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good point.
It's like,
good point.
And I'm not taking away anything, because I mean, like, LeBron wore the I Can't Breathe shirt. It's not like he hasn't taken a stance before. And honestly, I also don't feel that he has to necessarily, just because he's the biggest face out there. It's the whole thing about individual liberty is you can choose to say something or not. Getting back to Kaepernick real quick, the one thing I want to say is he got absolutely destroyed after he said he didn't vote and didn't even pay attention. Mm-hmm. I want to take the opportunity to say that actually shows me that he knows more about what's going on. He actually realizes that this two-party system is a joke, and there's no choice whatsoever. And everybody's like, well, if you don't vote, then you have no right to complain. It's like, shut up.
Yeah,
you obviously don't understand what is going on.
Right.
He is so in tune that he realizes that why waste his time? Mm-hmm. Maybe he also realized that Clinton was going to win California and why bother, whatever. But it also goes to show that maybe he realizes that neither one of those candidates really cares that much about any population other than their donors or people that can help them out.
Word.
You know what I mean? So anyway, I really do appreciate, though, like, the fact that he hasn't let it go. I know he's going to go through it for the rest of the season. And the one thing that I'd say is kind of unfortunate is that he's on such a bad team.
Ugh.
Because he's had, like, a few really kind of bright moments there. He had the one game where he had, like, 3 touchdowns, I think, and, like, 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, 3 touchdowns, and he ran for a touchdown. Yeah. So 4 total touchdowns just a week ago.
Like, if he was on a team that was, like, you know, like, on the cusp of the playoffs or something, you know, like a 6-6 team, I think he'd be, maybe people would be having to talk about it, but it's just one of those kind of like things where he just happens to be on a horrible team. And then so you have all these like pundits out there who like somehow like take his stance and the fact that they're bad and like make those two like
right.
the same thing. Like that can somehow like just put away his thoughts.
Right.
Because he's not on a good team, or maybe has a couple bad games. Like he has to be John Elway in order to make a stance.
Right.
And nothing can be further than the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm really sick and tired of a lot of these idiots spewing out hot air all the time.
Yeah.
You know, trying to tell people how to act or how to feel or stances to take. And it's just, you know, so I'm still back in Cap.
There's a lot of old school thinking, yeah, and I don't like that either.
Yeah,
and you know, so old heads just going, you know, just you're making your money and just sit there and you know, do your job.
As far as the NBA not maybe like collectively taking as much of a stand, I think, you know, they have a lot of issues coming up too, obviously, like with contract talks and stuff. And I feel like if that collection of shootings that happened this summer, and granted, it's happening every day,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that needs to be realized. But there was like that huge like spike in it this summer, and then you had the cops getting killed in Baton Rouge and Dallas. And so I think it was like if that had happened during the NBA season, and I hate to say that it has to be like that topical, that that's the way we live in society where it has to be what happened 5 minutes ago or whatever.
But it's the truth.
But that's the truth. Yeah. And no, I think and getting back to what Adam Jones said in baseball about how baseball is a white man's sport, you know what I mean? That's why none of the black guys say anything. I don't even really know what to think about that. That's a whole other discussion. So let's talk about soccer.
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah,
all
right.
That was a perfect lead-in to talking about soccer.
Yeah, a good old foot and mouth right now. It's not going to be super charming, this foot and mouth, because we're actually going to be paying a little ombrage right now, because I don't know if you heard, over this past week, actually it was like on Tuesday, I want to say, a plane crashed outside of Medellin, Colombia, carrying the team from Capotzoense. The name is Chapecoense, is the team name. They're from Chapeco, from Brazil. Pretty much at about 76 people are on board. I want to say something like 80 or 5 of them survived the crash, if that many. And it really was, it pretty much took out the entire team. And this is not, it's kind of interesting because in the soccer world, this is not something that's new to it. It's happened two times in the past. Man United is very famous for their team crashing back, I want to say it was in the 50s. And I just wanted to bring that up because it was a lot of things have kind of come out of this moment. A lot of outpouring and support from a lot of different players. If you're paying attention to soccer at all this weekend, if you're a fan, you knew that El Clasico was this past Saturday morning. And you saw a lot of Brazilian players who play for both sides come out with a lot of support for that team and that city in particular. But the cool story I found over the weekend was finding out that Ronaldinho has come out of retirement to play for them, and for free. He's playing for them for free.
Wow.
He's not going to charge anything. Yeah. And not just that, there are so many teams that are willing to loan their players to the team to, you know, get them back going again and kind of get football playing once again in that city, because the city is definitely in mourning after what happened, because that's such a tragic thing to happen for anything. I mean, just imagine if any like NBA or NFL team, their team plane crashed. It's what this town would be feeling like for anyone. So Ronaldinho coming out of retirement was such a cool story for me hearing that. And just not to mention that the love and support that came out from, like I said, the amount of players that were on the pitch this weekend. And also, there was a great little sentiment. They were, when they're going to Medellin, they're going to be playing Pablo Escobar's old team, the Nacionals, and they're going to be playing for the Copa Sudamerica final. They are given the title posthumously, I guess you could say, and so they're crowned the champions for this year, which is a nice touching tribute as well.
Sure.
So great to see the amount of support that's coming out and get a chance to see Ronaldinho play again, which for those who grew up kind of a fan of pretty much sports, probably my age and older, I'm 25, you're going to know who he is. He was an international star that pretty much was on your TV all the time.
Yep.
And he's such a cool guy, great just philanthropist and is himself, always wants to give and is always about Brazil, has been playing back in Brazil for many years now because that's his country and where he wants to be. So it's awesome to see what he's doing.
And this is, they were kind of like a Cinderella story, weren't they? They were a small club.
They were,
kind of like Leicester City. Like they were like, because isn't this is basically the equivalent of like the UEFA champion?
Yeah,
like, it's like was, clubs playing against other clubs.
And South America. Right. So yeah, the South America form of the Champions League or UEFA's league in some nature. And so they were definitely where they were a team that had risen the ranks from the lower divisions in Brazilian football. Wow. And they climbed the ranks rather quickly and have been playing really well. And the fact they even qualified for this tournament just shows that their rise was there. And they said they're going to the final, so they were on a nice little run themselves. So it's certainly heart-wrenching to see that happen. And
it's tragic because, I mean, I heard a report, and I forgive me, I mean, correct me if this is wrong, but I – because I maybe not have followed up on it, but I heard that the pilot actually passed up an opportunity to refuel.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, from what I hear, I mean the plane crashed because of lack of fuel just outside of the city, and I think they just thought that they had the opportunity to make it there and didn't quite. It's kind of sad that that's the type of thing that brings it down, and not something else that could
because it's like if it's like some kind of like mechanical failure that's out of your control,
you get that.
But it's like you had a chance to refuel and said no, we're gonna make it, and then you don't make it 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't get any tragic than that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you articulating that and actually shedding some light. I actually really enjoy these as much fun as I make of you for doing them. I find that segment really interesting because we don't all follow football as closely as you do, so it's nice to get a follow-up story on that because I had no idea until you told me this weekend, and then I looked it up because I was a huge fan of Ronaldinho when I was a kid. He was just such a boss, and Nike really had some great campaigns some years back with him and some really creative marketing that they did with him. That's a
cool story, man.
It was great. It's awesome to see. So we'll see how this this kind of shapes up and being able, like I said, you get to see Ronaldinho again, which I'm kind of stoked about. Like you said, I like not just those commercials. Like you saw the Pepsi commercials that they always do for like the World Cup, but for all those again, those are always super cool with all those players involved and he being a central figure in it usually.
So they're playing the game. They're going to play the final, but still give it to them.
No, they didn't play the game because it was against that team and the Nacional team, Medellin Nacional. But I can't remember their exact name. But like I said, since they were there, they just like gave it to them. Right. So like they just handed them the championship.
That's cool.
I mean, I'm not going to say like, that's really nice. Granted, I feel like you can't really crown a champion. It's nice that what they're doing is a nice gesture.
No, it's a great gesture. Because what do you, I mean, even if you put together a skeleton crew, I mean, that's a horrible image.
But you scrounge up a crew.
Sounded terrible. But if you get like a bunch of replacement players, first of all, everybody knows it's not the same. You know what I mean? So you might as well just hand it. Because it's like, nobody's going to sit there on the Medellin team and be like, oh, well, this is BS. We didn't win. You know what I mean? You know in your heart of hearts how this all went down.
Yeah.
But it's a game that really never should have been played, so I'm glad that they're not.
And it was honestly, if you see the visual that this the Medellin national team put on for them, it was actually rather spectacular. They had their entire stadium was full of people. They're all chanting. And there was, so it was like 30,000 people in the stadium, and there's about 100,000 plus people outside the stadium.
Wow.
All just out there kind of for that one moment when the game would have been played. So it was certainly cool, like I said, what was happening down there after this tragedy that took place.
And things like that is part of why I love sports, is because we have things that transcend sports, and then we have the reaction like we saw there that you were mentioning with all the fans still showing up to the stadium to pay respect and to show support of what I can't imagine rooting for a team and that happening to the team I root for. I mean, none of us, I don't think, have ever experienced anything like that. I mean,
The only thing that comes to mind here is that you think of that Marshall. You have that when that happened. But even then, so that's like a small kind of niche.
Right.
Yeah. And then, there's been a few bus crashes here and there where like a couple members of teams die. Yeah.
But like the entire team with
it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like,
I mean, it had not just the team, it had the team reporters on there, team doctors, team trainers, people who, like I said, a lot of reporters were going to that game because it was going to be a big one.
Right. So the entire town knew someone on that flight.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And can you imagine the guys who didn't, there was like five late last minute scratches from the flight.
I was just
people that were still on the roster.
Yeah.
Because they thought that, you know what I mean, that they had been on there. So originally, I think they said there was like 80-something, and then they took it down to 77.
Yeah.
And then the one guy, they found him alive, but he didn't make it. I mean, it's just – and then the goalie got his leg amputated. I mean, it's just like
– awful.
It's rough. Yeah. So, yeah, thoughts and prayers out to them and, you know, just – to everybody, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's just...
Absolutely.
To everyone, man.
I'm glad we didn't start with that, however. Because this is certainly a downer. It's a perfect way to end a Monday show, though.
I will say, before we do end it right now, absolutely. I didn't get a chance to mention it last week. I got to give a proper congratulations to Nico Rosberg, who took the F1 championship home.
Oh, right.
Again, like I said, I'm another quirky sport I like is F1.
No, Formula One's awesome.
It is. Right? It is. It's a crazy sport, and Nico Rosberg has been on this chase for quite some time, and for him to actually pull it off to win the individual drivers championship is truly spectacular. Not just to them, actually shouts to the Red Bull racing team over there that took second place. They topped Ferrari, which was for their manufacturer championship, which is also another nice cool thing, because everyone knows the name Ferrari in the racing world. So